Previously on the Phil Henry Show. Rancho Cucamonga on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I just want to say to the lady that's on your show that she's really absurd. She has lost her mind, and I hope you don't say anything right now because I'm just going to make my point, and I'm going to hang up the phone
because
I really don't
want crazy
to talk to you because I'm a mother of two children right now, and
I love children, and to get to hate a child.
You don't love children. You don't love children. You know what you do.
I hate what that boy did.
You're going to burn in hell because...
I'm going to burn in hell because that boy, that Elian Gonzalez boy.
God says that you're supposed to cherish children. You know that?
Am I supposed to cherish that Elian Gonzalez kid?
You are. And I cannot imagine a mother saying something like that about another child and then your own children, too.
I only wish that when that raft went down, the boy went down and the mother and the stepfather survived.
Is if you get on a raft, just like I wish you would get on a raft, just like his mother did, and you run into a storm and find
yourself. What country are you from? What country are you from?
You know what? It does not even matter.
It
doesn't matter because
the millions of people listening to Mr.
God. And I love the Lord, and you know what? And you need to find the Lord.
Oh, here we go. One of these born-again Jesus freaks.
You need to find the Lord.
Another Jesus freak.
Good.
Oh,
you need to be a Jesus freak.
Black,
you
too.
Really do.
A black
yes,
Jesus
I am.
Freak.
God yes,
Almighty.
I am.
Don't
and
we have enough
racist.
Of you people?
You are
you are coming off so racist,
help.
Margaret.
Yes,
you're coming off sounding so racist,
you
okay?
Are. And it would be really
you know,
wonderful
I,
if you guys
I'm not.
Get
there's
her
not a racist
air.
Bone in my body. I love all people.
Yes, you do.
What is racist about me?
Oh, I have a black friend.
No, wait a second. I said...
Yeah,
I didn't say that.
I simply said
we've got enough of you born-again black types.
We've got enough of the born-again...
Oh, every time I turn around. There's two girls that work for my husband, and they're both black. They're wonderful girls.
And
guess what, Phil? Guess what? They're both black, and they're both born again. Oh, my God. They started with a Jesus this and the Lord loves you that.
Yeah,
and it's like,
right.
I just want to, all
that's
I want is for
right.
that boy to go back
to
Havana.
You need to find the Lord. Because I cannot imagine a mother saying something like that about a child.
What did I say that was so terrible?
Let's know their own children.
What did I say that
you
was so terrible?
You are ridiculous.
What did I say that was so
you
terrible?
You are miserable with your life, and maybe you need to go ahead and commit suicide. Because
how
you are
dare
miserable.
How dare you?
Don't tell me how dare me. How dare you?
No, I said
how
that I that
you,
the
lady.
Elian Gonzalez child.
How dare
makes...
you? That is... child, and it doesn't matter whether it's your own child. You should have empathy for that child.
Well, you're not being very Christian now, are you?
You know what? You know what?
Not being
no,
very Christian
I am not.
Now.
No, I am not.
You should go
no,
to confession.
No, I am not.
Are you Catholic?
No, I am not Catholic, so I don't have to go to confession.
Too bad. You should have, if you were Catholic, you'd go
to
confession.
All I have to do is when I hang up this phone, ask God to forgive me, and I'm going to say a prayer for you, too, because you definitely need it.
You're the kind of person that would go out and
you
stab
are so
someone,
sick in the head.
Maybe stab your boyfriend when you find him with somebody else, and then say, oh, God, please forgive me for stabbing Leroy or whatever his name is.
God, are you... Margaret,
no,
all of your racist
that's
colors are coming out now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Absolutely.
You know what? And he's the one that would stab somebody, seeing that you could say something about your own damn kids. You don't even want your kids to touch you?
I'll tell you
I'm
this.
I'm afraid that if your son put his hands on you to hug and kiss you, you're going to stab him.
What about that Gonzalez boy?
You're going to stab him. That's what's going to happen. And as far as black people, let
go
me tell
your boyfriend Latrone
you
or whatever his name is.
You better worry about you, lady, because you know what? You might turn out to be some damn serial
Margaret,
killer.
Margaret, you're acting like a complete asshole
I
talking
can, yes,
about people
is.
Who are, you know, all the black born-again people.
That.
Why are you so racist?
Phil, I am not. You know me.
You know what?
Oh,
but you're acting ignorant, okay? What's it got to do with Cubans? What's it got to do with black people? And why would you say that you hate all children?
Because that Elian Gonzalez boy's face has been on
there's
TV so often, I've got a migraine headache.
He is precious. Well,
do you know that my cramping...
Makes your head explode,
can I say something?
Ignorant.
Can I please say something?
You don't need to say anything
my
else.
Cramping has been very serious this month, and my flow has been very heavy. As a result of this...
You probably flow all month.
This Elian Gonzalez boy has given me heavy cramping, heavy flow. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, girlfriend?
No, I don't.
No.
No, I don't.
Do we have
because
to hear
I
about your...
Children.
Now we have to hear about your menstrual cycle, is that
okay,
it?
Yes,
really?
You do. Well, we've had to hear about Elian Gonzalez.
So we got to hear... I'd rather hear about him than your menstrual cycle.
She probably doesn't even have one. That's probably why she's so evil. She's probably going through menopause or something.
So, I'm an old
so
bag.
Evil.
So you think I'm an
you're
old bag?
You're evil. You're evil.
You better say a prayer and ask God to forgive
you
for stabbing
evil.
Your boyfriend.
You're evil.
All
you're
right.
Evil. You're evil. You guys really
God,
need to get
please
her
forgive
off the
air. Please forgive her for stabbing her boyfriend.
Oh my God.
Oh God. All right.
No,
thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Flashback.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And there is more from Miami concerning Ilian Gonzalez. It's a story that many of us wish would go away for a variety of reasons, whatever is best for this young man. But I guess, what is it, Mike, Tuesday or Wednesday, there's going to be some finality to all of this. So I suppose we are looking forward to a weekend of protests. So they say, it's probably going to continue on. But there's been an awful lot happening down there. You're familiar with Ruben Ramon Escobar, who is on our program occasionally to talk about this. He is a outspoken critic of Castro, a proponent of Ilian Gonzalez, on the line with us here from Miami this afternoon to talk to us about what the latest is. And I imagine the latest is that, you know, the Cuban community wants him to stay, Mr. Escobar, and Castro up the ante there with the offer of a visa for his father to go and get his son.
You know, Phil, I listened to this, to all of the rhetoric about this from Castro, and I think that he is the stupidest man to think that the Cuban community is going to give up this boy. We are not going to give this boy up. But I am on your program this afternoon because I want you and your listeners to know that we are going to do everything we can to tell America that we are friends of America. The Cuban community is not anti-American. That we wish that...
Well, nobody's saying that you're anti-American. I guess everybody is just sort of thinking that this kid is a political football of some kind.
No, the boy is no political football. This boy is someone we embrace as a fellow refugee from Castro and from this evil despotic regime, this communist regime. But this boy is going to be embraced by this community. I want all America to know this, that the Cuban American community in Miami and the Cuban American community across America is definitely going to help this boy. There is a strong tradition, for instance, in our community that the lottery will be happening on perhaps the next week.
And now, you mentioned this lottery. What lottery is this? This is
a tradition in our community, yes. It is
What tradition?
In the Cuban community, the tradition of the lottery goes back to the first people following the so-called revolution, following Castro assuming power in Cuba.
And how does the lottery work?
The lottery is if your relative comes over and there is a question as to his or her status, everyone puts some money into a lottery. And the winner gets the services of the relative to go to work for them, to work for their home, to work for their family business. And we will see the results of the family lottery for Ilian Gonzalez before we know what to do. But this is a time where we should be happy because the lottery...
Now, wait. So this is a Cuban-American community tradition.
Yes.
Where if a relative comes over from Cuba, you put his name into a lottery?
The name goes into a lottery, yes.
And then what?
Then we pull straws to find the winner of the lottery. Whoever wins the lottery gets the services of this person.
And so in other words, the relative goes to work?
The relative goes to work for that person, yes. So I say, and Ilian Gonzalez, this young boy, is a good, strong boy. He has a good, strong back. He can be trained. And he is young enough where he can be trained. The Cuban-American community wants America to know that this boy will be trained in the ways of America. This boy will learn that Fidel is an assassin. And if he cries for his daddy, he will be told not to. So that the boy is going to be strong. And that he's going to be a good American. We will see to it.
Okay, Ruben Ramon Escobar on the line with us from Miami. You're talking about Ilian possibly going into a lottery. And then whoever wins gets his services, correct?
But the boy will go to work for the family, yes.
All right, so he'll stay with that member of the family.
That is correct, yes.
Now, what do you mean that you're going to train the kids? See, this is something, nobody knows anything about a lot of these traditions, and no one knows anything. Few people really even understand the dynamics of this, the political dynamic, the social dynamic, and this kid has a father as well as a mother.
But the boy's father is dead. The boy's father is dead.
And what do you mean he's dead?
In the boy's mind, his father is dead. As far as his boy is concerned, he is a dead man because he lives in America now. He does not live in Cuba now. He lives in America with his father. And so for this boy to understand and to understand why is for him to know his father is a dead man.
And why does he have to think of his father as a dead man? Because he's not going back?
Never going to go back. Why should he worry about his father? He's a dead man.
And what about his mother? His mother is the one who lost her life. and his stepfather...
The boy believes his mother is alive.
But she's not.
The boy believes that his mother is alive. It is healthy for the boy to believe his mother is alive because she was the one who brought him to freedom.
Yeah. But she's not alive. She drowned.
But if we, Mr. Henry, it's important for this boy to understand he's good for her to be alive.
Well, wait a second. What do you tell him? I understand. I heard the boy was quoted as saying, "My mother's alive."
That's correct.
Do you tell him that?
We don't tell the boy that his mother is dead.
What do you tell this kid? You tell the kid that his mother is dead or alive?
We tell him that his mother is going to come and get him very soon. This boy honors his mother, but he's not to honor his father. His father is a dead man who lives in Cuba.
And his father is alive, living in Havana. His mother's dead, but you got him thinking the opposite?
We want this boy to believe that his mother gave her life for him, as she did give her life.
So, what do you say when he says, "Where's my mom?"
We tell him...
No, specifically, what do you say when he says, "Where's my mom?"
That she is away. She's at the store, or she is visiting a relative or something.
You tell the kid, so when he says, "Where's my mother?" you say she's at the store?
I tell him, he said, she went to visit a friend in Kentucky. She's at the store. She's over at the Publix or Winn-Dixie.
There's a news release here that said that when Ilian asked where his mother was, he was told she was at High Line at the Dania Fronton.
She went to High Line, right.
She's watching High Line.
It's important for this boy to respect the memory of the woman who is to give up her life for him. And if the boy wishes to believe she is alive, then the boy can wish she is alive. If the boy wishes to believe she is dead, she may. I am not going to be the one. But the boy, he cries for his father, so they tell him, "Your father is a dead man. He's dead."
Boy, I don't know whether that's a good thing to tell a little kid or not.
But he lives in Cuba. He lives in Cuba. You might as well be dead. Under Castro.
Yeah, I know. That's all of that anti-communist rhetoric. I got to tell you, Mr. Escobar, I don't know how healthy that is. Because you live in Cuba, you might as well be dead. Well, yeah, you might as well be. But, I mean, the kid ought to know. You know, that he's got a dad down there.
His mother is nothing. His mother is, she is everything.
So you tell him that when he says, "Where's mom?" you say she's over at the Winn-Dixie.
She went to the store for a minute.
All right.
It's difficult for you to understand, but you don't understand our custom. And it's the custom of the people in the Cuban-American community.
So the kid's going into a lottery, and whoever wins, Ilian will work for them when he's old enough.
When he's old enough, yes.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, talking to Ruben Ramon Escobar. He is an outspoken critic of Castro and a proponent of Ilian Gonzalez. And he is talking to us about apparently the little boy. Remember that story where this kid said, "Where's my mom?" He thinks he's still alive. Apparently they're telling him that she went to High Line at the Dania Fronton. She'll be back soon. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com. Pick up the Best of the Hendry Show CD if you'd like. That's philhendryshow.com. Ruben Ramon Escobar is on the line with us from Miami. The Ilian Gonzalez controversy, immigration story, drama, however you want to position that, is unfolding. Mr. Escobar, a lot of your comments having to do with this boy going into a lottery, he'll live with a relative who wins, the fact that he's told his father is dead and that his mother is alive.
I think, Mr. Ray, you have to understand that I want the American people to understand that we are doing everything we can to make sure that this boy becomes a good citizen. He's not going to embarrass America. We will make sure that he integrates and make sure that he is a good boy and that he represents the Cuban-American community well. You do not have to worry. If the boy cries for his father, we will take the belt to him.
And if the boy cries for his father, you'll take a belt to him.
The boy will be learned. He will be taught how to be strong. That is the most important thing.
Well, I don't understand about the mother-father thing.
It's a Cuban thing. You don't understand our community, but we take care of our own.
Here is Maples on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes, what he's talking about sounds almost like slavery. Let's lie to this kid, tell him that his mother is dead or that she's at the store so that he wants to stay here and wait for her to come home. And
the boy cries for his
mother. You know, let him go and work for somebody else.
The boy believes his mother is alive.
Yes, exactly. You're telling him that his mother is alive, lying to him that his father is dead. Why would he want to go back to Cuba?
But
what you're talking about sounds like slavery. You're going to lie to him,
make
him stay
here
and work for somebody instead of letting him at least go have the opportunity to decide if he wants to go live with his father. But no, his father is dead.
He's a good, strong boy. And he can work here.
Okay, maybe he is a good boy, but he has not had an opportunity to prove that because you're lying to him.
We are going to give him the opportunity.
Some kind of fantasy world.
What about lying to him? What about saying that his father is dead?
His father lives in Castro's Cuba. He might as well be dead. And to say his mother is alive, the boy believes his mother is alive.
Well,
why should we
tell
destroy
the boy that his father is alive, that he's in Cuba, and explain to him what Cuba's about. Let him decide
this
for
is
himself
the only way for
what
a Cuban
is whether
to become,
Cuba.
But this is the only way for a Cuban to become a profitable member of the American society is to get in there and to work. He's a good, strong boy. He has a good, strong back.
Oh, my God.
The minute that this boy learns how it is, we want to assure you, ma'am, that we are not going to have some immigrant come
There's
here to live on the public
dole. That you can do with this boy to make him a good American.
What do you mean, you tell the kid that his mother is alive.
We know. He says, I know my mommy is alive.
So what do you say?
Then we say, yes, you're right. She's probably at the store.
You need to tell him the truth, that his mother is not with him anymore so that he can deal with her death.
We told him, yes, he says, where is my mommy? I says, this morning, because he got up early, I says, she's fishing. She went out fishing.
Exactly.
She went out fishing.
Him.
I beg your pardon?
You're lying to him.
You're lying to a little boy whose mother is gone. Let him know the truth. Let him get on with his life.
So he knows that his father is alive in Cuba, so he wants to go back to Cuba? Never. We will never let him go back. This young boy...
Who are you to decide? Who are you to decide? Let this kid go back to where he's from, okay? Or at least let the kid get old enough to decide for himself, whatever that means.
Yeah, you don't make no sense. You talk show host, let him get old enough before he decides for himself. Where is he going to decide for himself? You are stupid.
Well, thank you very much.
But you do. You sound like a stupid man.
No, you sound like the stupid man lying to a little kid that his mother is still alive when you know that she has drowned out in the ocean. He needs to have some closure in his life.
What difference does it make if you say to the boy, he says, where is my mommy? You say, my, right now she went to Jacksonville.
You need to sit down with him and have a serious talk and explain to him where his mother is.
Right.
If you've got some religion in your background, let him know that she's in heaven.
I believe in God. I believe in America. I love America. I love everything in America. God is alive.
Well, America's a great country.
Right.
Explain to Alien about America. Explain to him about Cuba. Don't lie to him and don't play the parent game with him.
Explain to him
about the two countries, not the two people.
Cuba sucks. America's good. What more does he need to know? His daddy is dead. His mother went to High Lie.
His father's dead and his mother's at High Lie. Good God. First thing his mom does when she gets off the raft is go to a High Lie fronton.
Many Cubans do.
It's
what many Cubans do.
What are you talking about?
One of the first things that Cuban gets off the raft, he goes to Miami High Lie for some wham. What you call that wham?
Walking around money?
That's it.
As soon as he gets off the inner tube, he goes over to Miami High Lie and gets some walking around money.
Right.
All right, thank you very much, ma'am, for your calls. Phil Henry
thank
Show
you.
Here, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to, this is a strange, strange tradition and strange custom. Don't you understand that most Americans don't get it?
That is why, Mr. Henry, I'm on your program to tell you about the lottery. Alien's name goes into a lottery. Tuesday we have the drawing. We'll have a barbecue. We serve some chicken, some ham. Then we draw his name.
Then he gets assigned to a family.
Gets assigned to a family. If he's lucky, he's a restaurant business. He has a bus boy. If maybe hotel, he's a pool boy. If he's a farmer or something, then maybe a lettuce pick, a strawberry pick, something like this. But he's going to have a good time. It's great. Picking lettuce in America is way better than working on a Chevy in Cuba. You see? Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here. Picking lettuce is better than working on a Chevy in Cuba. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Ruben Ramon Escobar from Miami with us. The Elian Gonzalez story continues to unfold. The boy is in the United States still. Castro has offered up the visa, Mr. Escobar. His father can come and get him at any time, and you're telling the kid that his father is dead, and you're telling the kid that his mother is alive. You know, here's an interesting question I have for you.
Yes, sir.
If you keep saying that his mom's alive and she just stepped out to the dry cleaners, you know, pretty soon a kid gets suspicious. Doesn't he even at least want to talk to her on the phone?
Mr. Henry, we are dealing with a little boy who wants to believe that his mother is alive. I tried to keep that fantasy alive, in my opinion, to keep that fantasy alive. So what they do is I think they have a lady call up. I don't know for sure. The boy is not living with me. But they have a lady call up. You say, Mama, is that you, Mama? Yes, I'm up the street. I'm at the lady. You know, I'm at a marina looking at jet skis.
So she called up and said, I'm up at a marina looking at jet skis.
That's correct.
One day she's at High Line. The next day she's looking at jet skis. One morning she was fishing.
Because the boy wants to believe that his mama is in the life. That his mother is in the life in America.
And cruel, the word cruel doesn't come to your mind?
But no, because living in America is the greatest dream of anybody from Cuba or any country in the world. And I want to assure all America listening that we love America. We love it so much. And that we want Elian to be a good American citizen, not a scumbag or a dirtbag like so many from Central America, but a good American like from Cuba. Is our desire.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Los Angeles on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes, ma'am, you're on the air.
Yes, I want to let you know that Mr. Escobar is not representative of the Cuban community. I am Cuban myself. We came in 61, immigrated, and he is not representative. We do not tell our children that someone is dead when they're alive and vice versa. And this guy is definitely
living in Cuba, if they are living in the hell of Cuba, they're living in the hell of Castro's Cuba.
Yes, and my parents lived in that hell as well.
That is correct.
And,
it is hell.
And you are obviously a crazy person.
Let me finish.
If anyone saw the program with Diane Sawyer, where the aunt of Elian, he is bonded to the aunt because, you know, he needs a mother figure. But Elian has been told that his mother passed away and that his father is in Cuba. If his father is allowed to come to the United States.
But the lottery is not British, but the lottery...
He will immigrate, but Castro is holding a gun to his head. And what he'll do, however, is allow the father to come to the United States.
But you know the lottery is their own tradition. Elian has been in the lottery. He will be taken care of.
Oh, you are crazy, sir. You are absolutely crazy.
He is in the lottery.
No lottery for the little kid.
This lottery is what?
It's a Cuban tradition when you come to this country.
It is not a Cuban tradition. I have never in my life...
Madam, how long has your family been here? How long has your family been here? 1961.
61.
This originated with the Mariel boat lift of 1980.
Okay, so you must have been in prison, and that affected your brain because you were not representative of the Cuban community.
In 1961, most Cubans did not need to be taught how to be a good American. The lottery is step one in the training of how to be a good American.
Wait, hold on for a minute.
What do you mean the lottery? So his name's put into a lottery, and his relatives pick him to find out who he's going to go to work for?
That is great. He's Desi Arnaz.
Oh,
Andy
my God,
Garcia.
This is a joke, isn't
no,
it?
No, it's not a joke. The only joke, ma'am, is that you do not speak for the Cuba community in Miami.
Excuse me, sir, neither do you. I can assure you that neither do you.
When is the last time you were in Miami? What's the last time you walked the beach?
A week ago,
One week ago, I was in Miami. Did you walk the Golden Sand of South Beach?
Absolutely, yes, I did.
I was in South Beach,
and I was in the Southwest area.
It's a land of milk and honey for most Cubans.
The United States is a wonderful country. It is the land of milk and honey for most Cubans.
What are you telling this boy about his mother? That she's going to a boat. She's at a marina. She went fishing. You know, he gets up in the morning and says, where's my mommy? And you say what?
She went to the grocery store.
That she went? He's just missing her, in other words.
Yeah, he just missed her.
Phil, the little boy has been told that his mother died. He's bonding to his cousin, the female cousin who is in her 20s.
I thought he was his aunt.
Well, there you go, his aunt or his cousin.
Oh, well, we don't know, do we? You're not too clued in, are you?
Excuse me?
You got to get plugged in. You're not plugged in the way I am plugged in.
Phil,
yeah, I think you got unplugged, brother. All right, ma'am, I got to move along. I thank you for your call. Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. West Palm Beach on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, okay. I don't understand this. You keep telling this poor kid that his mother's gone out and whatnot. One day he's going to find out the truth. And what's going to happen then?
Then you tell him that she died.
And what is he going to say? You lied to me for all this time?
No, I say that she died. It doesn't matter when she died.
Yeah, but you
so she went up to the High Life Fronton and she got killed?
Yeah.
That's
something like that.
That's not fair.
Why is it not fair? At least the boy can believe that she died shopping for jet skis.
She died shopping for jet skis. About his own parents. I mean, I know I would be miserable if someday I found out the truth and the rest of my family lied to me about how my parents died.
Let me tell you something, sir. My father found out that he was adopted at the age of 38. My dad found out at 38 that the woman that he thought was a friend of the family was actually his mother.
What do you want me to do about it?
You mean you don't
have any sensitivity toward my situation?
Mr. Henry, I don't know you from Adam. I am speaking of white people in Miami. I don't know your problems. Don't bore me with your problems. Don't bore me with your American problems.
He's trying to make a point.
Make a point?
Kid's going to be so messed up someday.
There are millions of points to be made. There are millions of stars in the sky, my friend.
Millions of stars in the sky
that I would love to exploit someday, but I'm here. I'm a small man. I'm a little man. I'm on the ground. You are a woman. You live in West Palm Beach, correct?
Yeah, I'm a woman. I'm a mother, and I know how much it means to your children to know your parents. And if his father's still alive, he should have every right to be with his father.
What is that? If you sit with me one morning, we have a Cubano coffee. We play dominoes. We look at the stars in the sky. We say, look, Ilian, look at the stars in the sky.
Are you out of your freaking mind?
What?
You sound like a moron. You sound like you need medication. What do you mean the stars in the sky?
Yeah,
How dare you? How dare you speak to me like that?
I am Ruben Escobar,
one of the most outspoken critics of Castro in Cuba.
It doesn't matter how many stars in the sky if his parents took his life and you blew it for him.
You are an American bastard, you know that?
Are you talking to me or this lady?
I'm talking to you.
Good. I don't want you talking to a woman that way.
Oh, well, get a load of you. Errol Flynn. Wow.
Okay.
You know something, Mr. Henry? Someday you will understand what Ilian Gonzalez has gone through. Went to Disney World. Ate at one of the finest restaurants in Miami.
It's not going to matter what he's gone through if when it comes down to his parents.
Who's this?
Huh?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm from West Palm Beach.
Oh, God, what is that sound? Please, God, what is that sound?
It's a toy or... What is that, ma'am? Is that your phone, ma'am?
Yes, sorry.
Oh, thank God.
Okay, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
This guy's... He's whack. Put him on hold for a second. I think the guy's a fruitcase. I think he's a case of extra ripe Dole pineapples. Oh, so anyway, Mr. Escobar...
I heard that, you bastard! I heard everything you said to me off the air. I will tell you this, that once the Cuban-American people get their stuff together in Miami, and we give up this Castro thing and get off that whole communism kick, someday we're going to make sense. Then you'll be sorry. You bastard!
You are crazy, sir.
No, you are crazy for paying attention to me.
Bradenton Beach on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Thank you.
Yes,
ma'am. I want to tell this Mr. Escobar, whatever your name is from
Miami,
you are a very
Escobar.
Poor example of the Spanish people, especially of the Latin Cuban community.
I spent
25 years in Miami, and on top of it, you're very rude. But
rude.
You are an example of the mob scenes that the Americans see every day on TV, because all you want to do is speak over other people. You want to block the traffic and not let us go home.
Right.
You want to tell a darling little boy that his mommy is in High Life when she's dead. How dare you?
Absolutely,
sir.
How dare
you?
I am trying to keep this
boy.
Who
do you think you are?
You are playing God,
and who do you think you are? Insulting the host of this radio show about his American ideas when you're telling us that you're going to raise this boy to be a good American.
I am Ruben Ramon Escobar,
señor.
I am the number one.
That means please, forgive me, but
por
you
favor.
Are an insult to my intelligence
por favor,
and to
señora.
Everybody.
Por favor, señora.
I am Ruben Ramon Escobar.
I am the number one anti-Castro activist in Miami. I will help my people be free someday.
Oh, why don't you give it up, you clown? You're like something out of the Keystone Cops. You'll never get Castro out of there.
What? What did you say to me?
You'll never get him out of there.
He is such a male chauvinist.
Why
king
you?
When other Cuban Americans with class and breeding can speak properly about this situation.
Live in America.
I cannot believe we're giving this man the time on the radio.
And this little boy, Mr. Escobar, who's down there, that you're telling his mother is alive. Why don't you give this kid an opportunity to see his father?
You spoke to me? Ruben Ramon Escobar. the number one anti-Catholic.
Ah, shut up, you bag
Thank
of wind.
You. How dare you speak to me like that? Someday the Cuban people...
Yeah, someday the Cuban people will get some brains in their head, and they'll start kicking like you... You know, when I was down in Miami on the air, I used to work in the radio down there, ma'am. Yes. Clowns like this were on the radio all the time on the Spanish stations. You used to hear these guys all the time. With the...
Why?
Oh, man.
Piss me off now.
I'm choking on it.
Absolutely.
You know that they never raise the American flag? They want to be under it as they wave the Cuban flag.
They're always
flag.
Waving the Cuban flag.
Oh, get a
I'm
piece
sick
of fat.
Of seeing the Cuban flag. If you want to raise the Cuban flag, get your ass on a flipping tube and go back to Cuba and wave it.
Get on a piece of fat and slide off.
Whatever that means.
A piece of fat. They're accustomed to eating the pork fat. That's probably what he's referring to. He's probably as big as a flipping
now, wait a
house.
My
big,
uncle
fat, greasy
is the
Cuban
best.
That you are.
My
just
uncle has the best
you.
Cuban restaurant in Miami. The finest chicken. How dare you? You
How
come
dare
to the
I listen to
you.
You
will
offended?
Have the Cuban coffee.
Will you
what
listen to this
you
guy?
Offended about, sir?
I'm offended that you told. You say that I'm fat. I run 4 miles a day.
You do?
I used to.
Oh, you used
but
to.
But I will tell you this. This boy, Alien Gonzalez.
And what else do you used to do? You used to tell the little boy.
You probably used to.
How come she never comes home? How come she never wants to see him and
She's
hold him?
She's busy getting their home set up. She's busy getting a condominium
Since
on the beach.
Thanksgiving Day, she don't want to hold the little boy who was in a tube and her boat went down. She don't want to hold him.
On
he doesn't want to
Day?
Comfort the baby.
She was. Where was she Thanksgiving Day?
What are you crazy? What are you doing to
She
this
was on
boy?
An inner tube
you
Thanksgiving
gonna
Day.
You're going to brainwash him the way Castro is going to brainwash him in
She's
Cuba.
Making a better
You're
going to
do it in Miami, and that's why the child does not belong with the Cuban American community in Miami, Florida.
I will tell you, ma'am, I've never had a woman speak to me as the way you have spoken to me this
day. I believe it, and it's about time.
And I will long remember this day that
I hope you
spoke
do.
To Ruben Ramon
And if you believe in
day.
God, Mr. Ruben, whoever you are,
My
I suppose you get down on your knees and ask God to help you to clear your brain so you can think properly.
But wait a minute, I
hung up on him. I can't stand
Thank
listening
you. I can't
to
take it either.
Thank
I
you very much.
Control my mouth.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Whew. That guy.
I am Ruben Ramon Esco.
Oh, shut up. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And our website, philhendryshow.com, is getting a little bit of a redesign. You can pick up our CD, which is the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 99 CD. I found Face West. This is the 96 one from when we were in Miami. And it's got so many nice things on here. Not that it's the most end-all, be-all of all disc jockey CDs, but, well, maybe it is, considering all the other stuff that's out there. But we had that Larry King bit that was on there. Mrs. Adelman, the night that we did our radiothon, I wished I would have had this. But in any event, we've made about 115K, 400 G's total over the last 3 years for my friend's place, Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood. So I hope, really, that you can do whatever you can, man. If you can buy a CD, that'd be nice. You know, if you can't, well, screw you. No, I mean, whatever you can do. You got all the free ones that Craig Taylor has, just amazing. Hey, by the way, have you been in a hotel lately where there's been a window that actually opens up? I mean, you have. Do you know that, like so many things, stuff is the result. I guess the way things are in life is the result of somebody suing somebody. But we're down here in the office just before we went on the air, and we're prepping the show. I'm sitting there with Mike and Melissa, and it'd be nice to be able to close the door because we've got this really crazy outtake CD. I got volume 2 of Celebrities at Their Worst, and it's awesome. Well, sort of. Some of it's a little cheesy. Like Tiny Tim talking about Santa Claus having AIDS is nice, not even remotely funny, and I really wanted to turn it down at that point. But the other stuff we would like to have heard, but I couldn't keep the door open. So I said, how about if we have a window that opens up? And we don't have windows that open up in that office. So you're like breathing that same stale air. And I recalled I was at a hotel in Long Beach not too long ago. Right down there, on the water, no window that opens up. And I don't know, it's something that I like. fact, if I go in a hotel room and the windows don't open up, if it's just one big glass window with no way to open the thing up, generally I'll call downstairs. I'll say, could I get a room with a window that opens up, please? And I'm talking to Mike and Melissa. They said, well, you know why that is? I said, why? So the guy won't jump out. I said, wait a minute. What are you talking about? The reason why hotels have windows that don't open up is because people started jumping out of them. So? So what? Disneyland Hotel had sliding glass window doors, floor to ceiling, and got rid of them. Why? Because somebody jumped out of one? Oh, has. Good for Disney. Good for them. Where's that, Disneyland or Disney World? Doesn't that Wilderness Lodge down at Disney World, can't you leap from those windows if you want? No, I'm not trying to encourage anybody. I guess that's a lawsuit, right?
I heard Mr. Henry say jump from the Wilderness Lodge, so I did. So I'm suing him.
Well, you're dead.
Oh, well.
So it turns out a guy's going to sue because his dad jumped from a hotel window and the hotel got sued. Why? Because they didn't make all proper preparation for his father jumping out of the window. So the first thing you got to think about is the guy's going to go up there, open up the window, and leap. So the family sues. You did not prevent my family member from jumping out of a freaking window. Have a nice meal. Take a nap on the big bed. Get all dressed up in your marine blues. And jump out the window. And that's why you can't breathe in those places. Man, I got to have air. I open every window up. When I'm sleeping at night, man, I got it. Are you open up the windows? I got the window, the air running in there at about 46 below. Because I can't stand that stuffy freaking air, man. And if you're going to spend, I don't know, $300 a night, you're in a hotel room, they ain't got no window that opens up. Take a fire axe and open that damn window up. A lot of times I will. I'll call ahead. I say, you got a window that opens up around here? Well, we do, sir. We have sliding glass doors. Great. And you can open it up about 4 inches. Then it's got some kind of a suicide prevention bar. It's got that bar there, man, so I can't get through the crack and jump 868. And then there's the opposite of that. It's a hotel in San Francisco, downtown Hyatt, right off of Market Street. And it's like a businessman's hotel. And it's really cool. It's very masculine, you know. It has all these straight lines and the wood and the dark cherry woods and things. So I got a hotel room, go up there, thinking to myself, I wanted to kill myself. This is the room, man. No, I'm just kidding. But, you go out, and they got a balcony there that's about maybe, 3 square feet, and you're 86 miles in the air. Man, you could climb over the ledge of that and stop some, rush hour traffic if you wanted to. Not that I wanted to, but, at least it had some air running through the thing. That's all. I mean, because a guy killed himself one day, I can't breathe. Because some guy decided he just... So what if they do? How can that be possibly the responsibility of the hotel? Do you understand what I'm talking about? See, to me, that's way over the line. But I'm not saying that our courts are wrong. They're far better men than me. Just seems to me that's over the line. A guy ought to be able to go up, open up a window, and breathe. And if a guy jumped out, well, that means maybe they'll get a couple of people in there for the same, like two rates for one day. One guy paid for the room. He jumped. Another guy comes in. He jumps. There's three guys. That's 3 days worth in one day. That's good.